silver feather, you and me. We'll change the weather.
All right, welcome back to the Healthy Aging Show. I'm Dr. Dennis Popio, professor of psychiatry here on Sirius XM 110 Doctor Radio, coming to you from the heart of NYU Langone Health. We have a wonderful new guest. Actually, not a new guest. We've had her, I believe, on the show before. It's Dr. Catherine Bowles, a professor of nursing and chair in nursing excellence at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. She's an elected fellow in the American Academy of Nursing and the American College of Medical Informatics, and she serves as a director of the Center for Home Care Policy Research at the Visiting Nurse Service of New York here in New York City. Dr. Bowles, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So first of all, I have one question from your title that that some of our listeners may not know. What is medical informatics?
Oh, it's a field that combines computer science with medical information and patient care. So we use, in my program of research, information, electronic information to improve care for, in my case, mainly older adults. Building decision support tools, using the information from your electronic health record to do things better.
So sort of like, almost like, sort of like a little like artificial intelligence-y type stuff, or?
That can be a part of it, yeah.
Wow. Cool. Very cool. So, but we are actually here, aside from, we'll have to have you on back to talk a little bit more about that another time, because we're actually here to talk a little bit about home care, because you just led a pretty big study.
Yes, yeah.
So tell us about that.
Well, we were in the right place at the right time. So the Visiting Nurse Service of New York is located in the epicenter of when the COVID pandemic. So when things hit in March, we realized that we were starting to take care of more and more COVID patients, and having the fact that they have a research center there with access to the data about the patients and their outcomes, we took advantage of that to take a look at how these patients fared once they came out of the acute care hospitals. They came from 64 different hospitals around the New York City area, and there were 1,409 of them. So we really felt that it was a great opportunity to profile how they did. So we found that they came into home health care very sick. So when a person enters home health care, the registered nurses or physical therapists do about a 100 item assessment of the patient, and it includes all kinds of information about their clinical status, their mental status, their symptoms, their function, can they dress, can they bathe, can they walk without help, their medications, their history. So we had all of that to be able to profile them. And then at the end of the home health episode, that information is collected again. This is required by Medicare. And so we had this snapshot of the start of care and the end of care to look to see what happened to the patients.
So and I'm going to just interrupt. I have a quick question. When looking at you'd mentioned that people are coming out of the hospital sicker. Is that a trend that happened just because of COVID? Or because it seems to me that that has been something that's been going on for quite a while, and it's just getting worse, where people are sort of leaving the hospital, you know, like you don't go to the hospital to get better. You go to the hospital to get, like, out of immediate danger type of thing.
That's true, yeah. So the lengths of stay in hospitals have decreased greatly over the last 10 years. Because of the funding, mainly. So they, you know, they want to get you up and out quickly. And so, yeah, many people leave the hospital still with, you know, symptoms that need to be controlled and new medications they're taking. And that's one reason why home health care is so valuable, because we help people further recover. And these, the COVID patients, they were, many of them were in ICU. So once you have an intensive care unit stay, you come out very debilitated, very weak. And so that recovery is even harder when those types of things happen to you. Lying in bed just one day, you know, really makes you lose your muscle mass and your strength.
And I think a lot of people have sort of a different idea of what home care is. I think people are still in that idea of, you know, the old fashioned, well, this is a lady who's going to come in and help with the laundry. But right. In reality, home care seems pretty highly specialized.
It sure is. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I've run into all the time is people not understanding what home health care can do for you. Mm. So there's a confusion between home health aid services, where someone can help you dress and bathe and get your meals for, as you say, like the very, very frail, debilitated person who's homebound. But skilled home health care is provided by registered nurses. And so the value of that is they're coming into your home to do a physical examination on you, to listen to your lungs, your heart, your abdomen, to manage your pain, to teach you about your condition, to help you manage your symptoms and help you stay out of the hospital and the emergency department. That's the whole goal of the things. And then they also can bring in the physical therapist to help with rehabilitation in your home, and also social work services if there's a need for that. So it's a skilled professional service. Yeah. And many times in my work, I've seen in the hospital setting that patients will be offered home health care and they'll say, no thanks, my wife will do that. And that's always the flag that, you know, they're thinking of things like cooking and helping me dress and bathe. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're offering them. We're offering them the services that, you know, to someone with a skilled eye to help them recover.
I'm not sure their wife is going to help them, like, you know, learn how to rewalk up and down stairs.
That's right.
So tell me who. So you did a lot of this large study. Who were people who were getting home care? What, like, you mentioned that they were sicker. What was going on?
Well, in the case of the COVID patients, and this is pretty typical of home health patients in general, because it serves the Medicare population in general. So nationwide, about 3.4 million patients per year, Medicare beneficiaries, get home health care. And their average age is in the mid-70s. But in the COVID patients, we saw a younger cohort, which was interesting. So their average age was 67. And we believe that's probably because the older adults who had COVID died in the hospital. So they weren't making it out to home health services. But we had a younger cohort coming in. But nonetheless, they looked very similar to other studies that we've done at the center, like for sepsis survivors. So patients who've had life-threatening infection and organ failure, which in essence COVID can be. If you ended up in intensive care, that's one reason why.
Yeah.
They came out with 50% of them had reported extreme exhaustion. And 84% of them still had shortness of breath with any type of exertion. And this is upon admission to home health care. And they reported mental status changes, and 50% of them were experiencing anxiety. So it was a very frightening experience. On average, the patients had 6 out of 9 activities of daily living where they needed someone else to help them do it. And the activities of daily living for the audience are things like bathing, dressing, walking, eating, toileting, transferring.
Wow.
So they were very, very debilitated. But the good news our study showed was that over time, and they were in home health, receiving home health services for an average of about 32 days, so over a month period, the majority of them were discharged safely and without any adverse events, without readmissions or death. And they got on average 11 visits by nurses or physical therapists. And they recovered well. So their activities of daily living dependencies went from an average of 6 to 1. So people really did, you know, recover. And they had, you know, great improvements in the anxiety improved, the shortness of breath improved for the majority.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because you mentioned that the average time was 30 days and the average number of nurse visits was 11. That's, you know, almost once every 3 days. So this is a very hands-on.
Yes, right. It's intermittent services, but yet it's, you know, a couple of times a week that someone's seeing them, yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they're able to bring in equipment like blood pressure cuffs to take their blood pressures and listen to their hearts and take their oxygen levels, which was the real important thing to measure for COVID recovery.
Yeah, yeah. Was there anything that really surprised you?
I was surprised that only 10% were readmitted. So given how sick they were when they entered, I thought that there would be a lot more people ending up back at the hospital. But only 10% were readmitted, and that compares to usual home health patients of about 15% get readmitted over a 30-day period. Mm. So, you know, that was surprising. And then, fortunately, only 1% passed away during that 30-day period that we followed people.
Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that that we talk a little bit about, and you mentioned that people are out of the hospital faster because of because of basically the way that hospitals are paid these days. We want to drive down the length of stay to maximize getting money back in. But how, is home care services something that is covered by Medicare?
Yeah, it is. But it has a very similar payment structure. Mm. So home health care is paid by Medicare, but it's covered only for 30 days.
Mm.
And it's paid for by, depending on the condition of the patient, that big assessment I talked about earlier that the nurses do. Based on the findings from that assessment, that determines how much of a payment the agency will get. They have to do a minimum number of visits during that 30-day period. But if they do too many visits, then they lose money. So they have, it's a balancing act for them. Mm-hmm. They have to visit enough to keep the patient healthy and help them recover, but not visit too much so it's overly costly for the agency because they get a set amount of money for that 30 days.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because I think part of the study in showing these really excellent outcomes, you know, I think could be a great use to argue that maybe we should be investing more money and paying for more of this home care.
I totally agree. So one of the things that we were shocked at, and you asked that, was that only nationwide, only 11% of the COVID survivors received home health services.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And we were really shocked at that. Yeah, that seemed really low to us, given that, you know, probably the majority of them were in critical condition and while in acute care. So. And that's part of the other work I've been doing is we've been building decision support tools for acute care setting to help them identify the type of patient who needs home health care services.
Mm. So we are talking to Dr. Catherine Boltz, Professor of Nursing and Chair of Nursing Excellence at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, and also the Director of the Center for Home Care Policy and Research at the VNS Visiting Nurse Service here in New York. So actually, let's talk a little bit about that. And I think that part of what we like to do here on the show is I think we are not only educating our listeners, but we also have a lot of healthcare workers who listen in. So tell us a little bit about that decision support for people in hospital.
Sure. So you asked about nursing informatics or medical informatics. Well, that's what we did with that work. So we take the information about the patient while they're in the hospital, the very similar information that we did in this COVID study, things about their function, can they dress, bathe, walk, feed themselves, take their medications, do they have a caregiver at home, what kind of medical conditions do they have, what's their history of previous hospitalizations, so all the types of things that put a patient at risk for having poor outcomes. So, you know, what are some of the major risk factors that we know of? And we put all those together, and through prediction modeling, we've used experts to identify what are the important factors we should be looking at and to make decisions of what kinds of patients should be going for post-acute care services.
Mm.
And through several years of research funded by National Institute of Health, we've built several algorithms throughout the years that do just that. Flag people that have certain characteristics and combinations of characteristics that are associated with the need for post-acute care services. And our latest algorithm branches people into, if they need the services, it makes a recommendation for home health care compared to facility level care, such as needing to go to a skilled nursing facility.
Hmm. Interesting. One of the things that I also wanted to touch on is I know that, it's a little bit hard, and it was probably a little hard then because so many people were in the hospital and we were not allowing guests and visitors. But if you have a family member who's in the hospital, what are things that you can notice? Like if you start, what are things that if you notice that may be a good thing to flag to the treatment team to say, you know, listen, I'm a little nervous about mom coming home or dad going home. You know, Sure. Can we think about home care?
Yeah, sure. So one of the big things is if they have a wound,
Okay. Someone
has to take care of that wound. So that's number one thing that, you know, might need help with until you can learn how to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Medication management.
Yeah.
So oftentimes when they get hospitalized, the whole regime of the medications is turned upside down. New things are prescribed. Old things are taken away. And so it's a whole new regime, and are they up to speed on what to take when,
mm-hmm.
especially dangerous drugs like blood thinners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fall risk, you know, are they mm-hmm. really weak? Have they been lying in bed for 4 days, and now mm-hmm. they're so weak to try and get up and walk around by themselves? So maybe some physical therapy at home would be helpful. And then also, who's living with them? Do they mm-hmm. have help when mm-hmm. they get home? You know, are they aware of what their symptoms are, what to watch for, and when to call for help?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think that walking thing is actually really big. I can't tell you how many times just sort of in-house we've gone to discharge someone and find out that they can't walk anymore.
Yeah.
Because that they're too weak. And that's sort of like, we're all sort of like, oh no, how did this happen?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're not testing them enough in the hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a question for a caller, Jamie from Virginia. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, good morning. My question is, I'm a social worker, and I work with the elderly population in hospitals, and I have seen that so many times they deny home health care.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like wondering, how can we change that? Like, do you have any suggestions or tips on how I can work with my individuals to accept the home health care?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show, because this happens over and over again.
Yep.
So, you know, and you well know this, I'm sure, being a social worker, you know, again, it starts with people not understanding what the services are, so we can educate them about what that nurse will do for them. You know, it's beyond helping me dress and bathe and my wife can do, right? And then, you know, helping them realize what they've been through in the hospital and picture what it's going to be like once you get home. And wouldn't it be wonderful to have someone coming in and checking on you and making sure everything's in place for everything that you need to keep you from coming back here?
Mm.
The motivation is you don't want to come back to this hospital again. We find that people who refuse home health services in our prior study were mm-hmm. 2 times more likely to be hospitalized again.
Mm.
So facts like that, like it's just a known fact that when we identify you as needing these services, please, you know, believe us. We're not trying to sell you services. It's something that, you know, we as experts have identified you as needing and would benefit mm. from.
Yeah, I think the education part seems to be a really huge, huge aspect of this. I think people generally have one or two big worries, at least that I hear. One is that, I don't really need someone to help with, you know, dressing and cleaning because I've got a family member there. And what else can they do for me? And then I think the other thing, and this is, I think, a little bit difficult, could be difficult, especially during COVID time, is you know, there people are leery of having people come into their homes.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, you know, I think one of the things that we always do is when we set, when we tell patients, listen, I think you need some home care, is we really focus on the fact that these aren't just some schmoes off the street. You know, these are nurses and physical therapists and people with advanced degrees who are there to, like, assess and do a very specific thing.
Exactly.
You know, I think a lot of people worry, like, oh, they're going to come and they're going to sit and watch me for 6 hours. No, no, no. They're going to come and, you know, work you out for an hour or less or whatever, you know. And I think that is part of another thing that people need to sort of understand, that it's not just it's not just a sitter.
Right. Yeah. And we've had people refuse, like they're ashamed of their home. They're ashamed that their house is not as clean as they would like it to be. Like, we don't care about any of that.
Yeah.
We care about you. We want to help you recover. And, you know, nurses are the most trusted profession in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can trust nurses to come into your home. And other things that people are afraid of is, like, they don't want a nurse to see things going on in the home. You know, maybe there's people living there that shouldn't be living there, or drug activity going on, or other types of things that, you know, they're afraid of. But the nurse is there to take care of the client and to help them recover.
So we have a quick call I want to get to. Jonathan from Florida. We have very little time, so quick question.
It's a suggestion, really, for your home health care of a community where your residents could have a community with assisted mobility and be able to maintain social distance and still have a lot of independence. And I've been working on this idea for years now. I live in the villages, and that's been an inspiration.
Yeah.
Another inspiration has been Dr. Bill Thomas, and if you're familiar with the Greenhouse Project, and a lot of his other ideas. But people living in a community of tiny houses on a large piece of land where they can drive around on electric vehicles and still have their own little space and meet with one another and get around.
Well, that sounds idyllic. You can sign me up. before we go, Dr. Bowles, what are your next steps? What are the next things that you guys are doing to try to get more people into home care, basically?
Well, one of the things we want to do is get our decision support tools implemented in hospitals, so we can use those to, you know, it's not to dictate who gets home health care, it's to provide decision support to those who are out there making those decisions, because they're making them on millions of people every day in a variety of ways by a variety of people. So we're trying to just, like, bring some objectivity to that and some science to it. The other things we're working on are, we were just funded for a study about sepsis survivors. So we're trying to work with hospitals and home care agencies to, again, better identify the sepsis survivor, improve communication across the chasm from hospital to home health care, and do prompt visiting and prompt services in home health care to get out there quickly before things can go wrong. So we're aiming for within 48 hours of the hospital discharge.
Fantastic. Dr. Catherine Bowles, professor of nursing at University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, thank you very much for being on the show. Listeners, come back in a couple minutes. We will be talking about love and sex during COVID.